back to New Rock Stars, guys. I'm Phil Molina. This is Rogue Theory. We are going to go and figure out, I'm already drunk, we're going to figure out who will make up the next version of the Avengers. Rogue Theory, by the way, is a show that we bring people together that are very fun, and we get their ideas on all kinds of theories and topics and whatever's on our minds. On today's episode, we have, of course, New Rock Stars' own Eric Voss.
Hello!
Hi! We also have Jeff McCubbin of the Comic Book Queers podcast.
Hello!
Woo. Yeah. And then we also have welcome back to Angelica Trey,
hey.
AKA A-Trey on Twitch.
That's right? Me. It's good to be back.
Not A-Train, which is a very bad character on The Voice.
And not a great way to travel.
No, not at all.
But safe. But it's scenic.
We should have more of it in this country.
Guys, a reminder that you can listen to the show on the Rogue Theory podcast feed to get it earlier than you would get it on the video. Also, this episode is going to be about all kinds of Rogue Theories, as they all are. We're going to hit up an upcoming DC movie. Yeah, we'll talk about DC. And we're going to talk about some Fast and Furious Universe stuff and some all kinds of whatnot. But first, let's just get right into it. The new Avengers. So Kevin Feige said in an interview that there will be another Avengers. That's probably not the shock, right? Just like, yeah, they're going to make more billions. And then the group is going to contain some characters that we know and some that we don't. So, or maybe we haven't met yet, right? So I want us to go down the line, and I just want to be pitched on what this new Avengers team probably will be based on your guess for where maybe Phase 5 is going to go. Or if you also are just like, you know who it needs to be, and I got a real hot take, and then you're just like, you just say characters that don't exist. But I don't know. But yeah, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Ooh.
I've thought about this way too much. That is healthy. I'm convinced that they're going to go the route of Brian Michael Bendis's New Avengers run, because it is the New Avengers. Because New Avengers had Captain America in it, but that would be the Falcon, I think. But then he also had a Wolverine on his team.
Oh, yeah.
He had a Spider-Man on his team. He had a Luke Cage. I think they're going to throw in a Blade since they announced him. And then I think we're going to add a Jessica Drew, who is Spider-Woman. That's who I think is going to be.
That sounds like a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
So why do you think they would go the new Avengers route?
Well, because I also think they're going to have the Scarlet Witch. And I think the Scarlet Witch, they're in the new Avengers run, she goes crazy and starts killing everybody. And that leads to House of M, which is all with the mutants. And I think that's maybe how they're going to bring the mutants into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it seems like, what are their broader goals? What do they need this new Avengers lineup to do in their future films? And if you think now they have the X-Men, this new Avengers could be set up in order to tie in a lot of these new characters so that we can reboot them. And yeah, I think we're going to see House of M at some point in this next
phase. Last week we were like all about how that's got to be how they bring in the mutants, except for a number of different ways that they also could bring in the mutants.
Yeah,
or previously we've talked about
it. It's endless, honestly.
Yeah, but House of M is a great way to do it, especially because of WandaVision.
Yeah.
Supposedly being tied into the Doctor Strange movie. It feels right.
Yeah.
What's your pitch?
I agree with the Falcon. I could see Falcon, I think. We're keeping people, right? Can we keep people?
Yeah, I mean, Feige wants to keep some.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I want kind of a ragtag group here, so I'd like to see some, maybe like a Negative Nancy in here. Can we get like a Jessica Jones or a Nebula?
Do you think existing Jessica Jones? Like they actually are like, you know what? We'll go back and we'll save someone from the Netflix world.
Sure, why not? Rip Netflix. But yeah, so I would love to see that, and then maybe like The Thing.
Yeah,
as well.
I had a similar thought when I get to mine, I'll say. But I honestly, I cannot get over the fact that I don't think even Marvel will be able to really pull off what The Thing should look like. And I just don't know that like you want to put him in that. I mean, people are going to disagree with me, but he's poop. He's like standing made of poop logs and poop links and like
it'll be funny.
Like no, but it shouldn't be. It should be intimidating. But it's just like something about like the cracks.
Like a condensed pine cone. Like if a pine cone got nervous and scared and shrunken on itself.
Exactly,
that's what the
a
thing
poop.
Is.
I think that's a Pokemon. That sounds like a Pokemon. Yeah.
That's its power.
I choose condensed. You, pine scared. And that's all I do. I harden.
So pitch us on how that group operates together.
I kind of just want like that weird group dynamic. Like, that's what I like, is the awkwardness of just a total different group of personalities. So I'd love to see someone that's, you know, very, you know, morally upstanding, and then, you know, maybe like a little more roguish characters in there. You know, if there's like a Nebula Jessica Jones type character, it would be a very negative Nancy, sort of Eeyore, you know, in the group. I just love seeing those interactions. It's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down with a very
Can we have a version of the Avengers that's just based on the Winnie the Pooh animals?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you have a Tigger who everyone just kind of wants to shut up.
I love that. And like Philip said, an awkward Avengers. You could title it that too.
The awkward Avengers.
Awkward Avengers.
And they're all just like stuffed animals brought to life in the mind of a child, which is what these are. They are toys who save cities and planets.
Yeah, like when the villain is monologuing, they're just like, you know what? You're right. What are we doing?
Doesn't matter, take over
the world.
Yeah. Snap me away.
Yeah, like, are we doing the Awkward Avengers, or are we also doing the Winnie the Pooh?
Awkward Avengers.
Yeah, because you're doing Eeyore.
I think they're the same.
You're doing the guy who, like, has no confidence. Is that what it is?
It's Eeyore,
Oh, yeah, that also works as Eeyore. Just standalone Eeyore and also the Awkward Avengers. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't like it, and I will not see this film. I will not see it.
What if it's titled Awkward Avengers, Awkward Adventures?
No.
No. It
that
could work.
Draw you in.
Imagine if the big battle team up moment, they say, Avengers, awkward. That's the new tagline.
I
like
tripling down on the awkward is what will sell me. For sure.
No,
I don't agree with this.
Well, how about this? It seems like the way phase three left off and the way phase four is taking over, we're kind of in this thematic era of a lack of trust and not knowing what you can believe. So think how Far From Home ended. Spoiler warning for Far From Home, because it apparently takes people 4 months to see that movie. Like, you had this thing where you have Mysterio's fake news. You have Spider-Man kind of made into a public enemy. You also have this whole weird Skrull conspiracy where the Skrulls are now working with Nick Fury's operation, and we don't know where the hell Nick Fury is. And then what are the first two things coming out from Phase 4? You have Black Widow, a story about spy espionage, and potentially a new double agent taking over for Natasha Romanoff, maybe in Yelena Belova. And then you have Falcon Winter Soldier, which sounds like it might be about not trusting this new version of Captain America. You have a government who still considers Winter Soldier and Cap enemies of the state, unless they got pardons, which they definitely deserve after what they've done in Endgame. But so maybe what the new Avengers role will be in Phase 4 and beyond will be restoring the public trust in superheroes. Because if you think, I can imagine a lot of people blaming superheroes the way Spider-Man is now about to be blamed. And I have this theory in a new Falcon Winter Soldier Zemo story, because we know Baron Zemo's coming back, that he might do a Thunderbolts style plot and present these villains as the new Avengers to fill the void, and then over time they turn on him and they become good people. Goliath is a good guy. So we might see something like that, right? Like, maybe we have redemptive characters, people like Winter Soldier, people like Yelena Belova, people like Spider-Man, who people aren't really sure whether or not they can trust. And this new version of the Avengers in Phase 4 will be these kind of like anti-hero figures from the public's perspective, and their goal will be to avenge the lack of trust that people now have in superheroes on Earth. And then maybe we'll have other lineups of people to handle galactic cosmic problems.
But who's in your lineup?
So this lineup would be Falcon, Spider-Man, maybe Winter Soldier, maybe Yelena Belova, maybe Banner Hulk, since I don't really see him going off-world that much, this version of him. I think his Sakaar adventures are over. And then maybe characters like Blade, like characters who are Earthbound. Whereas I see Doctor Strange, Wanda Maximoff, and in all the Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, they're going to be off doing other interdimensional adventures and intergalactic adventures. That's my idea for where I think this might go.
And what storyline are you potentially housing this in?
So I mentioned Skrulls. Secret Invasion is what we're all kind of waiting for, right, in this next phase. Captain Marvel seems to be kind of hinting at it, and that post-credit scene for Far From Home seems to be hinting at this idea that a lot of the heroes we know might be Skrull shapeshifters in disguise. I have a video series that I'm obsessed with and going through every character in the MCU to figure out which of them could be Skrulls and making a case for why this person might have been actually a Skrull the whole time. So if you have... The whole time. If you bring in this idea of the secret invasion where the society doesn't know what to believe, they have these conspiracy theories that trusted government officials and superheroes might have been these alien shapeshifters, and then the Avengers that they've known and loved have let them down in some ways. The way that we move on and move through Secret Invasion is how this new Avengers team gets formed. It's at the end of the day, we're the Avengers you can trust, and they have to earn, they have to fight to earn back and prove their humanity to society.
Don't you think it's hard to do Secret Invasion with the Skrulls being good in this universe?
It is tough.
Well,
right?
No, but it's the same thing as the Kree have already been shown to have their divisions of it. Like, I think it's just realistic to humanity. You know, how, like, we're not all good people deep down.
We don't always trust. Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. No, I don't know
what you're referring to.
I legit think that they're just going to be like, some of us are bad.
Could have like a splinter cell of Skrull extremists, the way that, you know, we have Talos and his crew who are kind of like good guys who have worked with humans in Project Pegasus and they work with Fury. You could have some who are more like the Ronin of the Skrull
universe. That's how Star Trek does it. Right, yeah. Like it's just the different races. There's always kind of like the fascists or whatever. They're the extremist groups in there. Yeah, most of the villains tend to be like some race that we know really well, but one extremist within that race that is normally. Actually, most of the races are into war and stuff in Star Trek.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm thinking Cardassian right now.
Okay, so I'm down with Secret Invasion, and I'm mostly down with most of you guys' lineup. I have similar ideas for lineup-wise. I kind of like New Avengers as a bit of a model, but I would keep Sam doing kind of like other Cap-related stuff, and then really just have Bucky take on the Winter Soldier like name again, honestly, but he fills in that Cap role, so he's on my team. I'll throw out there that Spider-Man, like the kid's got so many years still left on him, so he's great. I think Captain Marvel is probably the Thor replacement or something. By this point, we're talking Phase 5 too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, who knows whose contracts are not up or hasn't died in some way or another. And then I really like Wolverine being on there, which is also borrowing from that story, but also just like if they're going to bring the X-Men in, how do you not then like start throwing them into also the Avengers? And in that same vein, I'll give you a Sue Storm, right? Oh, sure. I also would say like maybe like a Mr. Fantastic or a Human Torch or something, but I just wanted another woman on the crew, I think feels right. So I'll throw in Sue Storm, and then here's my big swing. Thanos.
What?
He's good, right? No, he's Thanos specifically. It's a multiverse version of Thanos, and it's because we are in a Phase 5 where we're doing the Annihilation story, where specifically Thanos is like, hey, you know, so Annihilus wants to destroy all life in the universe, and that multiverse Thanos is like, I don't want that. And I really feel like we might get a bad guy on the good guy team coming up. So, and like, who has, like, we've already done it too much with Loki, and Thanos is like such a like rich villain that I would love to be able to see him again and imagine him being on their side, almost like in a Hulk kind of role or something. Is very fun. I'll also throw out there that I think maybe they're getting their directions from Professor X and Doctor Strange as a representation of the Illuminati.
I love the idea of the Illuminati, and that brings the idea of maybe Namor. Coming in.
I didn't include him only because he's like weird. a lot of brilliant minds could be there. But part of me feels like the MCU might be like, you know what? It's weird if they like have this meeting and they call themselves, especially like now the Illuminati is a little bit of like a dorky thing. Imagine if they were like, let's be the Illuminati.
We haven't really talked about how Black Panther will fit in with any new Avengers lineup. I think no matter what, the Avengers are going to be the group of people in the Marvel Universe who care the most about defending and protecting Earth. I don't think the Avengers are going to care too much about what's happening outside of Earth. And you got to think like, you know, the new role that T'Challa has in this version of the MCU, he's just revealed his nation to the world, and they are basically the world's superpower. They have the most advanced weaponry. They're the most technologically advanced. So you kind of imagine him being not just king of Wakanda, but like king of the world, like the most trusted government. Like, they housed Vision there. They were the most secure nation to protect Vision. It didn't work, but, you know, that's where they go. So I think he's going to have to be in some kind of lineup, whatever the mix is. It's either going to be him or representative from Wakanda like Shuri.
So just to keep tally, rapid fire list off who your team is.
Okay, so I think we got Spider-Man, I think we got Black Panther, Falcon, whoever the new Black Widow is, whether it's Yelena Belova or someone from that world, and Banner Hulk, and Blade.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah.
I'm now updating it from what everyone said.
Yeah, cheater.
But I'm going for Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Woman, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Luke Cage, and then I think Black Panther as well.
Nice. Quick.
Okay, I'll add one new person in there. But
you guys are such cheaters.
Okay, fine. I'll go to my original. Falcon, I think I said The Thing. I want Nebula or Jessica Jones. I want someone that's cranky. And then...
and awkward.
Eeyore. Yeah. So,
yeah, good to Eeyore, for sure. Yeah.
And then I want to add an X-Men now.
Go, quick.
They added Wolverine.
It's just all of us for all of us is Wolverine. Yeah. Was that everybody?
I think so.
Eeyore, yeah. And Pooh.
I'm sorry, I'm busy thinking about Night Monkey because I miss Night Monkey. Do you remember Night Monkey?
The Spider-Man.
I wish we could bring back, Night Monkey.
The Night Monkey version of Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Like Night Monkey by night and Spider-Man by day.
What was that? I was Captain Marvel, Sue Storm, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Bucky, Thanos. Yeah. And then, you know, just being led by Doctor Strange and Professor X. Yeah. Okay, think in your team for a second. Just be honest with yourself. Whose team would defeat all the other teams?
My team would get its ass kicked almost immediately. This group. Like Thanos?
Yeah. I think you're only saying this because you know you have Thanos on your team.
Oh, I guess I didn't really process the fact that I have Thanos.
We're picking the best fighters.
I'm just reminding you also Professor X is just like hanging out too.
Although actually, but your Thanos is the opposite. So your Thanos like wants to double the population.
No, that's not how he's not Bizarro Thanos.
So he's probably super peaceful. And then so maybe
he's always trying to hook people up. No, he's like, you two would make a great
couple. Making my Thanos a wimp.
Ooh.
I like the idea of just like all these like, well, I like there's also like two Wolverine on our teams. I think Spider-Man is fighting Spider-Man. I want to see that movie. Spider-Man versus
Spider-Man
Night
fighting
Monkey.
Spider-Man, is that the movie you want to watch?
Spider-Man and Night fighting. Monkey now, so
yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. You win for no reason.
Yay.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, the most awkward one of the Avengers.
The awkward Avengers. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm not. That's just kind of. I'm starting to get your brand, by the way.
With the awkward, what is it? Awkward adventures, and they have an awkward advantage.
Gosh. Maybe that's what it is. We all kill each other off, and you're the only ones left.
Yeah.
And how awkward is that?
Because they couldn't get there on time.
The last one left.
they were too late to the battle.
No.
Oh man, that feels like for this show. Is what we're saying. Yeah. Guys, speaking of this show, these people help us bring this show. I think is what we're going to add. Yeah, sponsors.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And we're back. Guys, there was potential, maybe, possibly, leaked plot for Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Eric, did you see it?
Yeah.
Or are you lying?
I saw the whole show.
Eric?
And that's been shot yet, but I saw it. I got hit in the head with something, and I saw a lot of other stuff, too. I'm not going to talk about it.
Basically, the theoretical, maybe it's a leak, maybe it's not. Actually, potential spoilers ahead if this is a actual leak. And then people are always like, you say spoilers and then you don't give me enough time to hit pause. So this time that I'm talking right now, you could have hit pause, Aaron.
There you go.
All right, and now going into it. So potentially the story is going to be about the government not actually wanting Sam to take over the Captain America mantle, which like them getting involved in that is kind of a weird choice in the first place.
Yeah.
But there is that comic storyline of Sam not wanting to be connected to the government, that it feels too kind of like linked to a bureaucracy and it kind of could skew him the wrong way. So him going independent is actually a comic related thing. But so I just want to know from you guys, if you think that maybe that storyline, if they go that way, is the appropriate way to do this? Would that excite you that it's going to be about this idea that like maybe the Captain America mantle actually is going to start drifting away from bureaucracy or government? Or are you like, nah, dog, like I wish he would just play exactly Cap.
Symbolism, patriotism, separating.
Yeah,
from,
basically. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I like that. I like that level of conflict here because we view, you know, superheroes as the most powerful. And then we view our government as something that has previously or maybe currently, I don't know, is super powerful as well. And so having those two things come to a head is a really interesting dynamic for me. So I'm excited.
Yeah, so you want that. You want it to redefine basically the role.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of how he was a little bit in Civil War, too.
Yeah, it's kind of following Winter Soldier in Civil War, where Cap was like, well, I don't want to be a poster child for a government that's doing things that I don't believe in. And we saw in Civil War, or in Winter Soldier, the government had been compromised by Hydra anyway. Wait, I don't think we ever really dealt with Sam Wilson's reaction to the events of Civil War, where he was imprisoned in the raft. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone on Team Cap felt like a sense of distrust in the government and in Tony Stark. And it was just the events of Infinity War and Endgame that kind of brought them all back together from circumstance. But I think that's something maybe the Black Widow movie might deal with, because that's going to be set before Infinity War. It's going to be set between Civil War and Infinity War. So hopefully, like, through Black Widow and her story, we can also get a sense of how Sam might feel from being betrayed by his government. And maybe he won't really want to, the way Cap did, and he might want to leave that behind and keep the shield, but kind of define what the shield will mean and maybe put a different emblem on it.
All I want to know with the Black Widow movie is how her hair ended up looking like.
Mm. I got a theory on that. Yelena Belova related theory.
Yeah, because it kind of has the ombre look.
Yeah.
Right, here's your rogue theory. It's because it's her natural hair color, and during the snap, it's such a depressing period.
She stops
coloring it.
Yeah.
But I will say that is more, that's not enough for 5 years.
And then
we need to time how long is the hair growing?
How long were the roots grown out?
Like that much? Is that, I don't think that's 5 years.
I feel like that's probably 5 years.
All right.
I mean, how damaged is her hair?
I think we need to do studies on this.
I think
let's go to the lab, right?
We have a lab.
We'll get the Mythbusters guys on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's all start growing out our hair now.
Yeah.
And we'll dye it.
Do we have a lab?
We'll start dying.
But going off what you said, I think in general, Marvel works better when the characters are outcasts. I think DC is the good, like, we're the golden boys. We work with the government. Everything's wonderful. That's more of a Superman-y thing. Mm-hmm. I think the side of Marvel, it's best
Superman-y,
when
that's my favorite spinoff of Modern Family. By the way. Pero Jay, my son is so super.
Jay, I can't eat this ice cream. I gotta go fight aliens.
But yeah, I think the Avengers work best when they're outcasts and they're and the general population does not like them.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I really like that you brought up Superman-y because that actor needs work. Because Superman and Captain America are both trying to they try to make them the symbolism of America's is ingrained in that character, supposedly at its core. But I actually very much like that the Boy Scout, Superman, is kind of like, you know what? I trust my parents. I had a good life and I trust my government. And that Cap's like, yeah, me too. And then he's put through the ringer a bit. And he's like, wait, well, I'm not stupid. And so it actually, even though it would switch over to Sam, I really like the idea that it's the arc of the character of Captain America starts from he's literally propaganda, right? Initially, and they use him in stupid videos and whatnot, and he has to film those fake war battle scenes.
Yeah, punching Hitler. And
yeah, exactly, to inspire people. And then he's literally used as a tool all the way through, like, you know, it didn't necessarily finish with Steve Rogers, but he does really come to distrust and want to do his own thing. Two, now when he hands it over to Sam, he's like, yeah, no, I'm not even going to play that game at all from the beginning.
One interesting thing that I hope happens, because you were talking about Thunderbolts and all of that stuff, I think it'll be very interesting. It's like in the comic books, there was a period where like Norman Osborn started to rise the ranks in the government. And I don't know, he didn't become president at some point, did he? Or was he just mayor of New York or something?
Lex Luthor became president on DC, and it was a similar story. But
yeah, but I like that idea of a villain being in like the head of the government.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. What a weird.
I don't know why.
Which we've seen some of that. They've laid the groundwork with figures like Alexander Pierce being, and Hydra figures rising to Secretary of State and these things. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are multiple senators that were in
Hydra, and it'll be interesting to see how like Secret Invasion could tie in with that. Like one of the other figures some people have tweeted at me, like, look into Thunderbolt Ross. You know, he's kind of the face of the government in the MCU. He's Secretary of State now, I think, currently. Unless something happened during the blip that we don't know about.
But he's also representative of the military, and I think that's almost like too easy, right? Where it's like the Colonel Kurtz kind of thing of like, oh, that guy's gone crazy and now he's on his own warpath. Instead, I like the sleeper, you know, Mayor Pete kind of person who's like, hey, like he's got like, you know, the sleeves rolled up. He's like, I'm working for you, but secretly I'm actually like super evil. It's Mayor Pete.
Yeah,
we haven't had problems with saying presidential candidates are actually green alien figures in disguise, right?
I didn't call him an alien, I said he's evil. No, Mayor Pete's a very fun, smart person.
Sure.
He's watching.
That's and a lizard.
Yeah,
he's
sorry. A big fan.
Would you say a loser?
And a lizard.
I think we just mean, like, and a loser. I mean, probably, though, because he probably is not going to have it.
Stop talking about the politics, new rock stars.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah. So you're the one that leaves those comments?
Is that the camera that's live?
He's got like 20 different aliases.
You want to put it in my camera real quick? Get out of here. So we decide, yeah, we're down with that, right? Like also, you know what? My biggest frustration with Civil War was that I don't think they did a great job of going kind of underground, specifically with Cap, right? Cap having meetings in sewers and stuff in the comics is like so fascinating to me of just like, you like think you're like, you're on this altar where people have all this respect for you. And it's now you're like in a literal sewer with like, you know, crap on your feet or whatever, and like rats running by, and like this is what your government thinks of you, that you have to like, you have to literally hide. So put the Sam story through that, where like he's kind of on the run or whatever.
Oh yeah, Sam Wilson as the forgotten veteran. Like, how many homeless veterans do we have in this country? How many veterans have we forgotten and have like opioid abuse and mental problems? Yeah. And he could maybe be an emblem of that story.
Sure. And tonally, The Fugitive. Right. Yeah. Just kind of that thing of like, look, I'm trying to like solve this one thing. Stay out of my way. I'm going to stay in hiding a little bit.
That could be really interesting. Yeah. And remember how much experience Sam has with these leading group therapy sessions. He understands that side of post-war life for a lot of vets.
Yeah.
More than really any other MCU character.
And I'll say this darker, a little drier place is also the when you're like, oh, that doesn't sound like Marvel. That's Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Right. When Winter Soldier came out, it was that spy thriller, and it had that kind of. It was even shot desaturated.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, it was like slightly less colorful than your average film. Mm-hmm. That sounds like perfect. It also sounds like the way that you make a TV show that isn't as expensive as a movie.
Yeah.
It's like, well, every scene is in the sewers. You know, like they build one sewer set.
Yeah.
Homeless people don't live in the sewers. I want to clarify that. All right. So we solved it, and we know that it's going to be great, and we sign our approval.
Yeah.
To Disney. Yes. All right, send that off.
We're great. All for it.
Yeah. Other thing that people are talking about right now, and I want your guys' opinion on, is about Darkseid. And so we're going to go into DC here for a second. So if you hate that, skip this. But yeah, sometimes we talk about DC.
You should like it. You should
DC
like it.
DC has fantastic characters.
Yeah.
I'm really into DC characters. They also, by the by, you know, come up with great characters, and sometimes it's Marvel later that has a similar character. So
sometimes with the same names.
Yeah, that's
Captain
true.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So I want to go into. So Ava DuVernay said this week that her new Gods movie would feature Darkseid, and that character is constantly compared to Thanos. They look a lot alike. They also have that kind of like the treatment of that there's no villain beyond. I mean, there are, but that's the way they're seen as like the main biggest villain. Considering DC's like not missteps, but they're hard out of the gate time that they've had of trying to get it right, and maybe we should copy Marvel, maybe we shouldn't. Well, now are they going to be in a situation? Is Darkseid too similar to Thanos?
Yeah, sadly, yes, I think, based off what we know about Darkseid from the comics. And what's really got to be frustrating for a lot of DC Comics fans is Darkseid came first. Like,
yeah.
Yep. Jim Starlin created the character of Thanos, but, like, yeah, he wanted to give Marvel their version. And this was happening throughout the 60s and 70s on both sides, where, you know, they're, these competing comic companies are like, we should have our version of this. And but yeah, they're both purple, they're both jacked, they're both Old Testament gods, and they're both from other planets, and they've come to Earth in this quest to try to master all power of the universe.
They gave Thanos new motivation.
Yes.
Almost, it almost makes you wonder if they were like, you know, we need to make him very specific so that he, if they do end up, because it was part of Zack Snyder's plan to have Darkseid be the villain of eventually in the Justice League.
Yeah, release the Snyder Cut. But apparently the Snyder Cut had Darkseid waving at them from the other side of the boom tube.
Well, or he shoots like the Omega beams or
is
something.
Is that real?
Yeah. There was supposed, they're all the Justice League, the final shot was supposed to look up through the boom tube and he see Darkseid, not waving at them, just like looming.
With his
silhouette. Yeah, and his eyes, yeah.
I feel you can't tell a new God story without Darkseid, but I think, and I know they're not going to do this, they should just make him look different.
Yeah.
I think they should just...
So, like, a different interpretation.
That. Yeah.
So pitch it. What does he look like?
I think he should just be, like, long and gangly and a different color.
Completely different.
I like men that are described as long.
Long,
that guy's just
gangly.
Long man.
Yeah. Just, and maybe pink with some sass.
Is that like you want to play this?
I do.
You want to be Dark Side?
Oh, that's funny that you were thinking him, and I was thinking, like, side of the road, like, air balloon man or whatever.
Yeah. I'm thinking...
You're always thinking that.
Well, you know what they could do? They could replace him with Snagglepuss, because he's actually part of the DC universe now.
Okay.
They own this.
Yeah, they actually released a Snagglepuss
real
comic
quick.
Book.
Eric, go ahead. What's your Snagglepuss?
Oh, the Justice Link is here. Exit stage right. They're about to.
You're hired.
Heavens to Apocalypse.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Yes, we
get
need
this man
that.
On screen.
That completes our obligations to Eric Voss. That was in his contract that we had to get a Snagglepuss in there.
Can you just replay that going down the list over and over every time? Just be like, and we've got Eric here, and then it's just that clip.
Yeah.
Every show.
Yes.
For every
He's
answer.
Not even here.
Like in the opening credits, that's the clip of me show with my name. Like
yes.
My Snagglepuss.
But I will also say the one thing the new gods have, they have Granny Goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Who
Which is such a weird character.
An S&M old lady
grandma.
Evil, like, genocidal killer.
Now, and for our viewers that don't know, an S&M grandma.
There had to be one. There's bound to be one.
Oh, of course they exist. Well, I mean, grandmas now are like much younger than like that age has now. You can be a grandma and still be, you know, a grandmom.
Yeah. There's a high rate of sexually transmitted diseases in nursing homes.
In nursing homes, that's
true.
There
are MTV generation grandmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't know that.
No. Next time I step into a nursing home, I'm going to...
Somebody's going to check this math, but you can be 36 years old and be a grandma. Yeah.
You can be way younger than 36 and be a grandma. I mean, if we're just kids having kids. I'm just saying.
Yikes.
Your Honor, that was Exhibit B, so...
Yeah.
It's like it was in a different context.
Yeah. We often have people recommend to us segments we should cut from the show, and I feel like that might end up on the list.
We gotta stop asking for those recommendations.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you think they'll bring her in?
I will say I watched the cartoon...
Mm-hmm.
Which
one? She was in like
is it
a lot
the Young
of the...
Justice cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
She's currently in there. She actually like is the president of like a video game, like, but it's secretly it's like one of those VR video games, mm-hmm. and it's actually like what is it called? Like brainwashing them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's how she was entered into that. Yeah, I think she could come in as like this nice little grandma
so
character.
So like a normal, like it's almost like a Hansel and Gretel kind of
story
or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Like it's a facade. That story you just told me reminded me of like almost like Rita Repulsa or something like where they like hide the character in some sort of stupid game or something.
Yeah.
So you think like just treat her like a human that secretly is devoted to Darkseid.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And what about changing Darkseid in ways that are not to make him look more like Jeff McCubbin? Because I do like the idea, though, of making him more of a man, right? Yeah. Like, he doesn't need to be that bloated figure that he is. He could be kind of a Silver Surfer-esque kind of humanoid with, you know, still Omega eyes and whatnot.
You know, they could DC could learn some lessons for the ways Marvel adapted Thanos for the screen. I mean, the Marvel Comics version of Thanos is kind of a one-dimensional. He's just trying to gather jewelry to impress Mistress Death. Mm-hmm. And then they made him an eco-terrorist in the movie. You know, like he's seen how bad overpopulation around the universe can be if it's left unchecked. So you could argue whether or not it's a real, legit, plausible way to solve that problem. But maybe DC could just humanize Darkseid in a different way. So it's not just about power. Maybe he has some kind of political or personal motivation, something like he's trying to gather mother boxes or whatever his plot is in order to prevent some greater calamity from happening. So you give him like kind of a sympathetic journey and maybe de-escalate him from the ultimate big bad, Old Testament villain of the New Gods, and maybe just another one of that family, another like outcast, a Hades figure of the New Gods. Who they can connect with rather than fight against. He doesn't have to be the villain in this version of the story. I'm just throwing other alternate ideas out there that they don't have to go the Thanos MCU route with Darkseid in the DC world.
I'm sure they'll do... It'll probably be a villain, honestly. They'll probably go along with that. Yeah. But maybe they'll change the color a little bit, you know? Like...
A periwinkle
green.
Instead of a
yeah, periwinkle,
purple.
You think
that magenta?
That's all it needs is a, yeah, just a hue shift?
Yeah, some earrings or something. Like, I don't know.
So
change,
you can tell the difference.
Yeah, Johnny Bravo hair or something like that.
It's like Homer and Krusty, right?
Exactly.
Just like slight differences.
But then,
yeah.
Four Thanoses.
What we saw with Thanos was he did have his weaknesses there, you know, and we saw with
chocolate.
His daughters. And what?
Chocolate's his weakness.
Chocolate.
Yeah, maybe he's in love with chocolate.
Yeah, she's
and
Kathy.
They just have to like bait him, they put it under a little cage. He comes, he pulls it. Stick
you got it.
It's not even that big
That's
enough cage to hold him. It just has his hand, and he's like, "I'm caught."
Oh no!
I'm not letting go of this chocolate though.
It's mine. But yeah, like I'm sure they'll give Darkseid a new set of weaknesses as well, because Thanos is a pretty complex character when you think about it. So I'm sure
now,
yes, yeah. So I'm sure they'll do that as well.
Yeah, so I'm into this idea, though, of specific motivations. We kind of hopped over it real quick. We were talking about the mother boxes and whatnot. But, yeah, what else? So put it in the DC universe. What would motivate Darkseid in a way that feels unique or interesting? Is it kind of just borrowing from, like, Die Hard movies and, like, you know, how that villain always has some sort of plot? I'm going to make it so that all the nukes go off so that we learn a lesson or, you know, like, is it just finding some random motivation like that?
Yeah, I mean, backstories. That's what they're great for, right? Just put a flashback in there.
So give him context to,
exactly.
to his thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe it's something like, you know, he views all of humanity as some kind of subspecies that is going to hurt the universe. So they have to be exterminated. You know, you got to apply, like, what's the darkest things humanity has done to each other and how can we heighten that in the form of a superhero? That's always like the way you go. So you look at history and there's been, you know, genocide. There's been ethnic cleansing. There's been eco-terrorism. There's been political terrorism. There's been religious war. So how
why is your
you
smile getting bigger each step of this
I was
list?
Like, never mind, this
it's
is Thanos.
Nervous that I'm making things too dark. So it's my face trying to balance things as all things should
energy.
Be.
See, yeah. I think all that just sounds so depressing. I think it should be something fun. Like, he wants to be, like, super famous. And so he's just
Darkseid,
like...
Darkseid, you're going to be a star.
Yeah. I like that better. Where he's like, I want to be number one. I want everyone to know who I am.
We get it. You want him to be Jeff McCubbin. Yeah, Jeff McCubbin, the side of the road.
Come on, that's fun.
Air man.
You're filled with hot air. It's Darkseid. No.
Welcome to the dark side, and then just say that like
he just says
in
that.
Commercials, yeah, or something.
It's
I could
said
see
in the 70s.
And, yeah, they're yeah. super popular. Okay, I could see it. Fame.
Yeah, no.
Fame.
Again, I hate this idea very much. I hate it more than I hated the Awkward Avengers idea.
You'll like it when you see it on screen. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I did. That's true. Sometimes
you'll
it turns
it.
Out
magenta.
Great.
Fame, it'll be great.
You're just saying things.
I am saying things.
like just glitter.
I'm trying to say like sexy words, like glitter.
Magenta.
Yeah, magenta.
Well, don't say it too many times.
Infamy.
I'm at work. guys, this got weird enough that now I feel totally fine to talk instead about Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Good segue.
Speaking about just sex and violence just brought together, The Rock. Okay. So this is the technically, I think, the ninth Fast and Furious movie that is out there now, which puts it ahead of the Star Wars main saga, by the way.
Which has only had eight movies so far.
Yeah, had eight movies. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but in it, basically, Idris Elba is a super villain, like super-powered villain, essentially. But also, this franchise has done all kinds of insane things. You know, The Rock is able to bust through his cast by flexing, right? One of those movies. Jason Statham murdered an entire hospital, like the whole building. Even he killed it. And Michelle Rodriguez, literally both. Literally, she came back from the dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With amnesia.
So she suffered amnesia for whatever. But basically, can we just acknowledge? These are superhero movies. Yeah,
yes.
This is essentially an Avengers team. This is a duo.
Even their airport runways are superheroic. They're like 30 miles long. Fast and Furious 6 ended with this big 30-minute long. This plane never took off. It was a chase on a runway. So they made a plane a big car. And didn't one of them drive through the hull of the plane? They were able to outrun the plane. There was a car on the plane. The car smashed through the front of the plane and then was able to drive faster than it and outrun it.
Ooh.
These are the best movies of all time.
Yes.
They are fantastic. And we're just talking about how they're superhero movies
Basically, superhero movies. Don't they have that thing now? So this just came out, right? You were talking about this article where they say that they can't lose a fight and they like count how many punches they have. So they essentially, like, that's why they take
like
so
in their
many
movie
hits.
Contract.
The actor contract.
Yeah. In real life, too. They're not allowed to lose fights.
just walking around. They just
that's why they're
fighting.
So big.
Yeah. But so that's why they get thrown through a wall and they don't suffer any consequences because they can't lose that fight.
Yeah. The Wall Street Journal did a whole like awesome reporting with the Wall Street Journal here. They interviewed people who work on these sets and they've dug into the contracts of all these, Vin Diesel, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jason Statham, and they all have different versions of this where they are not allowed to lose. So they have to find creative ways so that in these movies, they both kind of win in a way, even when they're fighting each other. So like Statham will throw a grenade and The Rock, even though he kind of loses that fight, he just grabs a woman and jumps out of a window with her. And by saving a woman, he's also a hero.
Oh, my God.
They fight, but then a helicopter shows up and fires a missile at him. So then the helicopter is kind of the guy who spoiled the fight by splitting it up. The Rock can't even lay on the ground at someone's feet. His sister is on all the sets, and she'll be like, ooh, no, we need to have him sitting up here because The Rock doesn't lay defeated at someone's feet. He's ready to get back up.
Then do superheroes need to lose in order to be interesting?
It depends what you're going to these movies for. I think Marvel has shown us that Thor is a far more fascinating character when he gets knocked down, loses Mjolnir, gets his eye punched out, gets real fat, gets out of shape. Far more interesting. Tony Stark, in a lot of his Iron Man 3, kind of ends with him getting defeated. Pepper saves him. And he's much more interesting, like you said, when they're outcasts, when they're beaten down, when they aren't just these macho figures. Captain America, in Captain America Civil War, he walks away limping from that fight. Infinity War, he ends knocked on his ass. You know, he's not ready to sit back up. He goes, oh God. That's like some of the most interesting visuals we've seen of these characters. So I think, and Logan was my favorite Wolverine movie. I think it was my favorite Wolverine movie. And yeah, we saw what happened with him. He was tortured that whole time. So I think superheroes are more interesting and have more relatability when they're beaten down. But in terms of what the Fast and Furious franchise has become, it's just like, it's almost an experiment to see how ridiculous and inhuman and wrestling-like we can make these characters, and that like the stories just get soap operatic and we just kind of love it for what it is. So I don't know. Interesting on a human level, they need to lose. Interesting on just a spectacle, never lose.
Yes. It makes me think of Rocky, right?
Yeah.
So I think we can spoil Rocky. I think we can spoil Rocky, Aaron.
I can read the comments already. Yeah, exactly. Angry people.
Rocky loses.
Yeah.
Right? And
what?
And damn it.
In the first one.
Yeah.
He loses.
First one, and it's it really is the story that is important. It's the journey that he takes, and it's the fact that he was able to fight it all. and last in the ring at all is the whole point.
Philip, you found the perfect metaphor. The MCU is Rocky 1. The Fast and Furious franchise is Rocky 4, where they're both incredibly jacked. I mean, Drago kind of loses, but it ends with him putting his arm around, if we could change, and I could change, and he could change, and Gorbachev could change, and Chernobyl could change, we all could change. Family, quarter mile at a time.
Yeah, I love that. You could, you could be doing Vin Diesel, you could be doing Stallone.
I intentionally blurred the lines there.
Yeah, you, these are some Snagglepuss in
there. Heavens to Murgatroyd! Heavens to Murgatroyd!
All right, that's the new clip that you have to show. Sorry. Yeah. It's changing.
I don't have to show any clips of this guy.
All right, all right.
Row questions.
Okay.
These are questions that just come at you, well, at the speed that I read them.
Bring them on.
So normal human language. But you don't know what they are. I don't know what they say. And we have to come up with some quick answers, some rogue theory answers to these rogue questions. You guys ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're on this, right? So the Fast and Furious spinoff Hobbs and Shaw comes out this week. Can you tell me if these if these franchises have had more or less movies than the Fast and Furious? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Your options are, so I'll say instead, which of these franchises has more than the Fast and Furious? Whoever gets the answer fastest first wins something.
Mile.
Yeah, wins a quarter mile at a time. All right, Mission Impossible.
Less.
Save it to the end. Mission Impossible, live action Spider-Man movies, Transformers, Star Trek, Star Wars, and then the biggest superhero team up of all time, the Madea films.
I think Madea has more.
Madea definitely has more.
Madea.
I think that's
sure.
the only one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, because Star Wars, Star Trek has more. Star Trek has more live action, because you got to think you had like five of the original series. You had three of the Picard ones.
Are we talking series or are we talking
films?
Films.
Yeah. You've had at least three of the new J.J. Abrams Kelvin timeline ones. So we've definitely had at least like 10 Star Trek films, at least.
So I'll just tell you real quick. Yeah, Mission Impossible has less, 6. Spider-Man has less, 7. Transformers has less, 7. Star Trek has 13 Star Trek films. Star Wars... I didn't actually say main saga in this. So Star Wars has more.
Yeah,
so
with Solo 10. And Rogue One.
Yeah. And Madea, same. 9 Madea films, just as furious.
Wow.
Lana Del Rey is speaking at the Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony for Guillermo del Toro. But here's the connection there. Who else with the name Del is somewhere in their name should have been there? We have Lana Del Rey and Guillermo del Toro.
Del Close should have been arrested for all the lives he ruined.
Drag queen Bianca Del Rio.
Wait,
Benicio
Adele?
Del Toro.
Adele.
Benicio del Toro. Adele also
Adele.
I'll take.
okay,
dude,
cool.
You're getting Adele. Right, ready? A woman married her golden retriever. Oh, yeah, I saw this. We all saw this. Yeah, we're all caught up. On an English morning show this week. I'm so caught up on dog news, by the way. What fictional animal would you consider marrying? Night monkey.
Night monkey, yeah, sure,
What fictional animal would you consider marrying?
The Judi Dench cat from the Cats trailer.
I'd go with Falcor from the Neverending Story, because he can take me places.
Are these like mystical? Can we do...
You can't change your answer now. You're stuck in your marriage you don't want to be in.
Sorry, your unicorn's out the ring.
Dragons. Okay, all right.
Woodstock 50 was officially canceled this week. Who has the best shot at headlining Woodstock 100?
William Eilish. Billie Eilish. That's her full name.
In 50 years, you'll have to embrace it.
Just some robot cube.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, like a VR.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Alexa. Just Alexa.
A little box.
Yeah. The singularity has occurred, and Alexa is the only act performing for a bunch of other smaller Alexas.
Alexa, star concert.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, why not? Oops, it don't hurt. August 3rd is National Mustard Day. What's your... This is what we're talking about? National... Today is Spider-Man Day, but we're talking about National Mustard Day. What's your favorite yellow fictional character?
Can we do Beatrice Kiddo? with her tracksuit?
That is a great answer, okay. And that's the only one I'm going to take, because I refuse to go on this question about National Mustard.
Millhouse Van Houten is mine.
Odie from Garfield.
No, I'm not taking any more answers. I'm switching this to a Spider-Man question. Okay, so Spider-Man is the most recognized hero in the world. A lot of people think it's Batman for some reason. Spider-Man is in every country. There's like a representation of Spider-Man. It's in so many languages. It's also the most profitable hero that's ever existed. We all have deep connections to Spider-Man. What's yours? What's your first maybe memory of Spider-Man, or something that, just to celebrate his day, something that you remember Spider-Man meaning to you at some point?
Tobey Maguire crying.
That just really
crying
got
face.
You?
Yeah, it really resonates with
that's
me.
That's your Spider-Man.
That's my Spider-Man.
Moment. Yeah.
Mine is more similar, but more shallow. It's when he first wakes up and discovers his power and just sees his
the
ripped
like
body.
Yeah.
That sparked something in me in the movie theaters.
To cause you to work out?
Yeah. No.
My favorite moment, it's not my first Spider-Man memory. I don't know what that was, but it's from Spider-Man 2 when he stops to train and he goes... And he like does the Christ pose, and he like bends the metal of it. He's like, got any other bright ideas? And someone just made it into like this like loop. They made a 10-minute loop of just him going, trying to stop the train for 10 minutes.
I love a good loop.
Yeah.
And it took that's me think the he's clip I'll show again and again of Eric. Just
there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got
we're updating
you.
This clip as we go.
Yeah. All right, great. Well, then that's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. To the 10 of you still watching, thank you so much for going rogue with us. Thanks to you guys so much. Where can we find you guys?
I'm Angelica Trey. You can find me on most social media platforms at Aytray, AYYTRAE, and on Twitch, as well as on Instagram at Angelica Trey.
Great. Jeff.
You can find me on Instagram at Evil Jeff, or you can go to my podcast on Instagram at Comic Book Queers.
Sweet. And Eric, what do we got going this week?
I teamed back up with our good pal Marina Mastros, and we went through this idea of how the hell is Vision coming back for WandaVision? No one seems to know how he was brought back from the dead. We saw his lifeless gray husk roll around on the Wakandan jungle floor, and no one seems to know how he comes back. So Marina and I had a lot of fun going through different
possibilities.
We can
have
Bernice. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. That's, yeah. That's so we got that. We got some theories on how Baron Zemo is coming back to the MCU. And now that the Avengers Endgame digital download is out there, we can finally go through frame by frame and see all the details. And in that final battle, there's so much fun things. I saw it 4 times, and still there's little things that I'm discovering, so I look forward to kind of doing a rewatch.
Yeah, are you guys going to go into what Spider-Man is swinging from in that final battle?
I love it. He's doing like the Spider-Man PS2 video game where he's just like swinging.
Well, it's so obvious, right? He shoots a little bit of webbing, and then he swings from that.
Yeah.
It's a cloud. From a cloud. Yeah, exactly. He's swinging from clouds now.
Guys, don't forget to subscribe to the Rogue Theory podcast feed. It comes out before the videos do. Stay tuned to the YouTube channel for the stuff Eric was just talking about and any other show we have going on. Follow us on Twitter at New Rockstars. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Philip Molina. I love everyone who's still here.